have a lesson, the top 10 ways young people can avoid sin. Top 10 ways young people can avoid sin. And I want to tell you, young people, it's a lot easier to start out avoiding sin than it is to get all wrapped up in it, and then when you're 40 years old, decide I'm going to quit it. Start from the beginning avoiding sin. Don't get wrapped up in it. And I know some of these adults out here can tell you how hard it was because they were involved in all sorts of sin. And when they decided to try to get right, it was hard. It's a lot easier if you just keep yourself pure. Keep yourself clean to start with. Stay out of those sinful situations. If you can do that, then you'll be able to fight off the temptation easier than if you've already gotten yourself involved in it. See, sin is addictive. Kind of like candy and caffeine. A lot of you like that Coke and you like those sweets. And if your parents told you can't have any more, you'd go ballistic on them. Or as the saying was a few years ago, you'd go postal on them. We go crazy over things like that because we're addicted to it. We gotta have that. Can't live without it. But we need to replace those addictions with an addiction to God. If we can be addicted to God, that's a good addiction. One that we won't ever have to worry about breaking. One that won't ever cause us to be thrown in jail. Won't ever cause us to lose our family and friends because of some evil thing that we've done to them. We need to be sure that we put our affections in the right place. Let's look. 1 Timothy 4:12 was read to us. Now, we know that 1 Timothy was written to a young preacher. But I want to tell you, young people, if you're living your life right, your life is preaching to a lot of people without you saying a word. People out there know, when they see young people living right, they just, wow, if they can do it, then I can do it too. Be an example. Notice what he says. Let no man despise your youth. Don't let anybody look down on you just because you're young. There are some people that will try to do that. Well, you're young. You don't know anything about that. I know. I was there. I grew up in the church. I grew up with over... Wow, he doesn't know how to lead singing. He doesn't know how to lead a prayer. He's only 15. He doesn't know that yet. But I did know. And I could do it just as well as some of those men that were 50 and 60 years old that have been doing it. I could do it. Don't let anybody look down on you just because you're young. Notice what he says. But be an example of the believers. Instead of letting them look down on you, make them look up to you. See, a lot of times when somebody's smaller than us, physically we look down toward them, and so spiritually and emotionally we look down toward them too. And that's not right. You live your life in such a way that people have to look up to you spiritually because you're showing the example. Be an example, and then he says in these ways, in word, be careful what you say. In conversation, we think of conversation as speaking, but in this text, in the King James, they use the word conversation to mean the way you live your life, in your deeds, your daily activity. That's what conversation means in the King James Version. Words changed a little in the last 400 years as to what it means. So in the things you say, in the things you do, in charity or love, you show those old people how to love again. A lot of them have forgotten. They've been shunned and spurned and injured by somebody so many times that they don't want to put their heart out there on the line. They're afraid it'll get stomped on again. But you show them how to love. And then he says, in spirit. We know, all us old folks know, you young people, you've got the energy. You've got the zeal and the spirit to do whatever you want to do. You never get tired, it seems like. You go all day, and the rest of us are... And you say, well, what are we going to do next? I'm ready to go. You show us that spirit, that attitude of wanting to keep going. Be an example of that. In faith. You know, as young people, a lot of times, you don't worry about the things that adults worry about. Now, a lot of times, that's because you have faith in your parents, or your grandparents, or whoever your guardian. You trust in them to take care of some of those things. But you're also trusting God to keep those parents with you to keep doing those things for you. We need to learn to trust God too. And so be an example of faith for us. And in purity, keep yourself away from sin. Be pure. And they said, how can we do that? That's a big job for a young person, isn't it? That's a harder job than probably most of the jobs you'll ever have making money out there in the world when you grow up. It's a hard job, but it's an important one. So you say, how do we do that? Well, let's turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. This is called the best section. Each section of Psalm 119 is named after one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's an 8-verse section, each one. And each one of them in the original language, each line began with that particular letter. It's a type of poetry. It doesn't rhyme at the end, but it starts with the same letter at the beginning. We call that alliteration in the English language today, but that's basically what the psalmist was doing in Psalm 119. As we begin in verse 9, the psalmist is going to ask the very question that we just asked. Now the King James, I know for you young people, it's not the way you talk, and it may sound a little odd, but we'll clarify it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, young ladies will say, well, I'm not a young man. He's just saying a young person. He's saying, how can a young person keep themselves clean? How can they stay pure? It's a good question, isn't it? Well, how are you going to do it? Fortunately for us, he's going to answer that question. Because if he just asked the question and left it out there, we'd be in trouble because we'd have to figure out the answer for ourselves. That's hard. But he's going to answer the question. And here he goes. Right there after he asks the question, he says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. In other words, he says, by paying attention to God's word. That's how you're going to keep your way pure. That's how you're going to keep yourself out of sin. Pay attention to God's word. That means when the preacher's preaching, you say, oh, that's for old people. No, it's not. You pay attention to it when you're young, and then you won't have to be hearing it again when you're older, because you'll already know it. You'll already remember that. And you say, I remember when the preacher preached that before. I know what he's talking about. You won't have to be hearing it for the first time when you're 50 years old and try to put these things. You'll be, well, I've been doing that. I knew that. I learned that a long time ago, and I've been doing that. Oh, boy, isn't that good. Because it's overwhelming sometimes when the word hits you all at once, and there's so many things that you haven't been doing that you need to start doing. But if you start doing these things when you're young, as you learn them, then when you grow up, you're going to be able to have so much of those things conquered already that older people that come to the Lord have to start from the beginning. And they have to try to conquer those things. But especially young people, this is here in verse 9, especially young people notice these things. There are passages in the Bible addressed to youth, like this one we're looking at. Like 1 Timothy 4:12. Like Ecclesiastes 12:1. There are certain passages that are addressed to young people. Pay attention especially to those passages. There are passages that are addressed to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Things and verses like that that are directly to you as young people, as children. Pay attention to those. And then there are examples to the youth. There are young people throughout the Bible, and in our devotionals on 4th Sunday, we're looking at some of those young people in the Bible who did great things even though they were still young. You know, there was Josiah that we studied in the adult class a week or so back. 8 years old, and he was the king of a nation. There were lots of these young people. Today in our youth devotion, we're going to study about Joseph. He was a young man. He was a teenager when his brother sold him into slavery. But he didn't let that get him back. He fought back. And he became the ruler of Egypt. We're going to look at his life in depth in our devotional for the young people later today. But look at those examples and follow those examples. Do the things that they did that were good. Josiah cleaned the land from all of the idolatry that was going on in the land. That's a good thing for a young person to try to do. And then notice in the book of Proverbs the my son statement. Now there are certain statements in the book of Proverbs where the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, and we say, well, I know Jesus was wiser than Solomon, but he was God on earth. We're talking about just a regular man. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, and he said, my son, do this. Don't do that. Now, if he's the wisest man that ever lived, it'd be a good idea to listen to what he had to say. He knew what he was talking about. So young people, listen to those things. And then, there are certain sins that are peculiar to young people. There are certain sins that grandmas just don't commit very often. There are certain sins that grown folks, they're just specific things that young people do. Paul refers to these as flee youthful lust. There are some things that we just outgrow. There are certain struggles that you're going to have as a young person growing up, going through puberty and the changes of life. That there are going to be things that, oh yeah, we had to go through those things too, but you're going through them. And we're not still going through some of those things. But the Bible addresses certain things that you need to watch out for as a young person that are easier to get caught up in when you're young. So don't fall to those temptations. If you're warned about what those things are, then you're better able to conquer them. Now, we don't have time to list all of these things today. Study your Bible to find those things. The second thing is, number two on our top 10 list, be totally committed to God. A way to avoid sin is by being totally committed to God. Start when you're young, putting Christ first in your plan. You know when we have church. You know when we have Bible study. You know when we have youth devotionals. You know when we have activities for the young people at the church. You know when these things are. Make your plan not to go somewhere else and do something else at that time. Because it's easier if you start when you're young. Just make it a habit that, well, when church is, I want to go to church. I want to be together with the saints. And you start at the very beginning, putting Christ first in your plan. And be willing to forsake all for Christ. Don't think anything. God known young people whose parents were on the verge of disowning them because they wanted to go to church. But they kept coming. They kept coming. They're still faithful Christians to this day because they didn't let anything stand between them and God. Now that's hard for a young person because you know your parents provide for you. And the Bible says children obey your parents. You have to show them the example. If you live it, if they see how important it is for you, if you talk to them about it, explain it to them, teach them. Sometimes young people can be a bigger influence on their parents than they would ever imagine. And then of course, give God your best. Don't give Him secondhand stuff. Don't give Him your leftover time. Give Him the best of your time. Don't give Him whatever you got left clean in the closet. Make sure you got something good to wear to church. I see a lot of times young people, I've seen even young Christians come and they're serving on the Lord's table and they're wearing shorts and t-shirts. What does that tell God? How important is it? They wouldn't go to school dressed like that a lot of times, some of these young people, but that's the way they come to church to serve on the Lord's table. Make sure you give God your best in everything that you can. And surrender to God. Sometimes some of the commandments that God gives are not going to be things that you're going to want to do. They're not going to be things that you like to do. But if you will surrender and do them anyway, you'll learn to like those things. And then, of course, make Jesus the Lord of your life. Make sure that you understand that He is the Master. He's the boss. You're not the boss of yourself. And even when you grow up and get out of your house, you say, I'm out from under my parents. You're still going to be under Christ. And that's going to protect you because one of the most dangerous things for young people is when they leave home and go off either to college or go out into the world to get a job for the first time. More young people are lost at that point in their lives than any other point. Because I'm finally free from all those rules. But if you've already established that Christ is the Lord of your life, then you're still going to be under His rules whether you're in your parents' house or not. That's going to be important for you. Then third, verse 10, He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. See, that's being totally committed. His whole heart. Not just half-hearted, but whole-heart. And then He says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Let me not wander See, you need to have a deep aversion to backsliding. We talked about backsliding last week in our lesson and ways to prevent that. You need to have an aversion to backsliding, because it's easy for young people to do that. Once they grow up and they say, okay, well, now I don't have to do all that, but I have to my parents make me do. Same kind of an idea. But it's so easy sometimes to become complacent and just say, well, you know, I went already once this week. I don't need to go to church again. But if you have an aversion to it, you see, wandering off is a very dangerous thing. Many, many young people are lost in this world, physically lost from their parents because they wandered off. It wasn't that they just got up and said, I'm going to run away from home, but maybe they were in a mall, or maybe they were in a grocery store, and they just kind of wandered. And they wandered, and they wandered a little further, and pretty soon they wandered around the corner where mom and daddy couldn't see them anymore, and somebody came and snatched them, and they were gone. Well, see, when we wander away from God, a lot of times we don't think, well, I'm just going to run away from God. I hate this Christianity stuff. I hate being like this. I hate having God's word tell me what to do and all these rules. I'm just going to run away and go away. I don't do that. But we just kind of wander. And we wander a little further and a little further. You see, that's why the Bible likens us to sheep. That's what sheep do. Sheep, I don't think any sheep ever ran away. They just don't do that. But what happens is they nibble themselves away. They start nibbling on the grass here, and then they, oh, there's another piece of grass right there. I'll nibble on that piece of grass. Oh, there's another one there. And I'll get nibbled on that grass. And before long, they've gone around a curve in the path or around the corner of a hillside or something, and they're out of sight of the shepherd. And the shepherd's got to go looking for them and try to find them. Because they've wandered away. They didn't just run away from the shepherd. They just wandered. They just wandered. But if you have a deep aversion to that, if you always try to stick close, you know, there are different types of children. I see this with children, little ones, the little 3 and 4 year olds, 2 year olds. Some of them, if they're in a strange place, they got both arms wrapped around mama's leg or daddy's leg. They're not going anywhere. They're going to stick close. Others, I'm going to do, what's that over there? I hadn't seen that before. And they're wandering all over the new area. Now, usually mom or daddy's keeping an eye on them to make sure they don't go too far. But as we have more maturity than those little ones like that, we need to understand it's important for us to stick close to God. We have enemies out there in the world. The devil and his friends are out there just waiting for us to get a little too far away where they can snatch us. We need to be aware. We need to be careful. And then fourth, we need to be filling our hearts with the Word of God. One of the best ways to avoid sin is to fill your heart with the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted, what did he do? He quoted scriptures. The more of God's Word you know, the more you're going to be able to handle it when people, your friends, your cousins, your brothers and sisters, even other family members, whoever it is, teachers at school, whatever, when they try to tempt you to do something you shouldn't, the more scripture you know, the better you're going to be able to answer them, and the better you're going to be able to avoid falling to that sin. We need to fill our heart with the Word of God. Verse 11, notice this verse. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. David said, I hid your word in my heart. And he's talking about the mind. I remembered your word. I know your word. I know what it says. And because I know what it says, I recognize temptation. I recognize sin when it comes. And the Bible tells us about all sorts of dangerous situations that we'll find ourselves in. And if we fill our heart with the Word of God in these situations, we'll know about immorality. We'll know about sexual immorality. It's running rampant in our society. A lot of our young ladies are already of the age where they know several of their friends that are in class with them who are pregnant or have had babies. They're too young to be thinking about that. Some of us adults have been down that road, and we know how hard it would be as a young person like that to have a child and to have... But if we avoid the sexual immorality, we can avoid those kinds of circumstances. So God's Word warns about that. warns the young people about that. What about your recreation? There are certain things that you can do for recreation that are good, but there are certain things that lead to the works of darkness. You need to watch out for that. What about your associates? What about your friends? The Bible says evil companions corrupt good manners. Be careful who your friends are. What about your own integrity? What about lying or cheating on a test in school? What about that? What about letting somebody else cheat off your faith? Well, I wouldn't cheat. I studied. But you let somebody else cheat. What about your integrity? What about knowing things like the plan of salvation? Knowing about the church that Jesus built? Knowing about heaven and hell? Sometimes we forget about those things. We need to think about them. We need to have the scriptures handy on those things. But then we can also avoid sin. And you older folks are seeing, you know, this isn't just for young people. These same things are applying to us. It's the same way. You know, avoiding sin, there's no trick for it for this person or another. It's the same for everybody. We want to avoid sin, we're going to do it the same way. Number five, by becoming students of the Bible. Notice what he says in verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Well, you're already a student at school and you're learning all sorts of things. Why not be a student of the Bible as well? Be a student. Don't just wait until Sunday when the preacher preaches about it, or until your Sunday school class or your Wednesday night Bible class. That's not enough. You be a student of the Word. Study it for yourself to see what it says. And then if you have a question about it, go ask somebody to help you explain that, help you understand that. Then six. Number six. By declaring your faith. Don't try to hide it. There was one young lady, she was going off to college, and her mother said, now sweetie, when you get off to college, you know, there are going to be a lot of people there. They're not going to be Christians, and they're not going to believe in Jesus. They're not going to believe in God like you do. They're not going to go to church. She said, sweetie, yeah, you know, when they find out that you're a Christian, they might ridicule you. They might make fun of you. They might not want to be your friend. And she said, no, don't worry, Mama. They'll never find out. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. We want people to find out what we believe and what we stand for. Declare your faith. Never be ashamed of the Bible. Never be ashamed of the church. And never be ashamed of your convictions. I know some people, and I know some right now, who are struggling because they're trying to hold to their convictions in a world that doesn't respect Christian convictions and Christian values. And they're struggling to make their way, knowing that they want to do what's right, and knowing they still have to have a job, and they still have bills to pay, and they have to do that, but they still have to do what's right. We have people in this congregation who have left jobs because things were going on that job that weren't right and they didn't want to be a part of it. It's hard sometimes to stand by your convictions, to stand up for God's Word and do what He said. It's not always the easiest thing to do what's right. Now we wish it was, and we think it should be. You know, if doing right was the easiest, boy, then we'd all do right, wouldn't we? But it's not the easiest. Sometimes, in the short term, it's easier to tell that lie. It's easier to cheat. It's easier to steal this or steal that. It's easier to do something that we shouldn't. But we have to stand firm. We have to be strong. And we have to never be ashamed of the Bible, the church, or our convictions. We have too many people who are ashamed of those things. They will never stand up for what the Word of God says because they're afraid they'll offend somebody. They'll never stand up for what the church stands for in the Word of God because they want to get along with all of the denominational churches out there. How can two walk together except they be agreed? If you're going to Montgomery and I'm going to Jackson, we can't ride together because they're in opposite directions from here. Just won't work. We've got to hold fast and declare our faith. And not become ashamed. You know, a lot of times when we're young, we're not I remember when I was just in fourth grade, boy, our science teacher showed us some video on evolution. And boy, the next day I had my Bible and I was showing him what the Bible said about creation. But as I grew up, it got harder and harder to do that. I got a little more shy about it. It shouldn't happen. We have to never be ashamed of what God has said about these things, about what we believe, about what God has said. Number seven, develop a proper value system. A proper value system. Everybody has a value system. Everybody does. Unfortunately, some people's value systems are really messed up. They're backwards. Or they've got they've got things all in the wrong order. And money's more important to them than their family. And their family's more important to them than God. Or, their sexuality is more important to them than what the Bible says. Or you go on and on about how they have this. They're messed up. We need to develop a proper value system. Value the things that are truly important. We need to remember what Jesus said. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Then we see that, number eight, we need to respect God's ways, verse 15. Let's look back at verse 14. It says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as much as in all riches. See, the psalmist says, I knew that your testimony, your law, your word was as important to me, more important than all riches. And I rejoice in that. Verse 13, he said, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And that goes back to declaring your faith. Verse 15 then, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy way. We may not always understand why God said something that he said. We may not always understand why he chose immersion in water to be the doorway into the church. The way of salvation. We may not know. We may not understand why he chose unleavened bread and fruit of the vine to represent his blood and body. We may not understand that. We may not understand why God said that we can't do or shouldn't do certain things. Even as adults, sometimes we don't understand all of the reasons that God had. But we have to have respect for the fact that he is God. And that he knows better than we do. Then number nine, first part of verse 16, we need to have joy in his word. By having joy in his word, I will delight myself in thy statutes. How many of you enjoy reading the Bible? I know when I was younger, it was kind of like, I've got to read it again. Read the Bible. I had to learn to enjoy that. And now I love it. I love to find little nerds. Millie mentioned something in class this morning about Jesus beginning his ministry at age 30 after we had studied about the priests not beginning their ministry until they were 30 years old. I never thought about that before. That's so neat. There are so many things like that. As we study, we find new things. I always wondered, why didn't he start when he turned 18 or when he turned 20? Why did he wait until he was 30? Now that's good. If he was the priest after the order of Melchizedek and the other priests didn't start serving until they were 30, maybe that's why God told him not to start until he was 30 years old to begin his ministry. Never thought of that before. But as we study more, we're going to keep running into little things like that. New things that we've never read before, things we didn't know before. And it can become a joy to us. If we enjoy finding out new things, instead of trying to find out the latest news on our neighbor or our friend or the latest gossip about some Hollywood movie star or some musical star, instead of let's find out something new about the Word of God, it can be just as exciting. The problem that we have is that our friends and neighbors and relatives don't think it's that exciting. Peer pressure. See, we want to be liked by them, and we want to have the same conversations with them about all of the things they like. But the Word of God, what a joy, what a delight to know the Word. And then, 10, the number 10 thing here, by remembering not to forget. By remembering not to forget. Now that's kind of odd. He says, I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. Sometimes, we were taught the word when we were young, but when we grow up, we forget it. We need to make the determination when we're young, I will not forget it. I'm going to keep studying it, keep remembering it, and I'm going to keep knowing God's word up into old age, up till I'm 25. till I'm real old, till I'm 30, you know, I'm going to keep on remembering God's word. Till I'm real old, you know. No, we need to not ever forget God's word. We remember remembering not to forget. So notice what the psalmist has said. How can a young person keep their way clean? Here's how they do it. Pay attention to God's word. Be totally committed to God. Have a deep aversion to backsliding. Fill your heart with the word of God. Become a student of the Bible. Declare your faith. Develop a proper value system. Respect God's ways. Have joy in His word. And remember not to forget. A young person or an old person or somebody in between, it doesn't matter. That's the way to do it. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You need to get your relationship with God right, starting when you're young, and then it's easier to keep it right from that point on. Whether you're young or old, you can keep yourself unspotted by the world. It is possible to do that. It takes work, but we can do it. We can keep ourselves pure. And the secret is right here. And the top 10 secret keys are the ones that we just read in verses 9 through 16 of Psalm 119. If you're here and you haven't each responded to the invitation for whatever reason, we ask you to do so as we stand and as we sing.